Muy buenas tardes. Hoy viernes 27 de septiembre de este año 2024.
Good evening. Today, Friday, September 27th of this year, 2024, I send a very special greeting to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, to his wife Ruth, and to all the ministers and brothers and sisters in the different countries that are connected through the satellite Amazonas, the satellite Eutelsat 8, in this occasion, in which we will be seeing, the subject, hearing the voice of Christ and laboring in his work, which was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Saturday, April 5 of 2014 in Austin, Texas, United States. And he read the scripture of Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 to 18. Let's look in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." You may please be seated. In the message that Dr. William Soto Santiago preached to us, titled "An Approved Workman," on March 1st of 2014 in Villahermosa, Tabasco, Mexico, our brother William Soto Santiago tells us, "Therefore, patience is to prepare us to obtain what he has promised, to keep believing what God had promised until it is materialized. Whoever loses his patience ends up losing, because he loses the blessing." Remember Moses? He lost his patience with the people, and he lost his affection or love for the people, and he smote the rock which represented Christ, where the angel was upon the rock, although the people couldn't see him, but the angel of the covenant was there, which is Christ in his heavenly body. And the rock, therefore, represented Christ, and smiting it represented smiting Christ in his second coming. The first rock, the one on Mount Horeb, represented the first coming of Christ, and he had to be smitten on the cross. And when Moses smote the rock so that the water would come forth for the people, that was good, because that was the way God told him to do it. He wasn't so impatient then. But after 40 years with a people who were always complaining to him and sometimes trying to stone him, Moses was very sad with the people, even though he was happy with God. And sometimes Moses also complained to God, telling him, "Have I begotten these people?" But such is the life of a messenger for an age, and if it is for a dispensation, even greater. In the message, the unveiling of God, it tells us on page 27, Reverend William Branham tells us, "Now, the natural veil, God, the word veil in human flesh, what was it? God was veiled in Moses. God was in Moses." There he writes below, "God veiled in Moses." God was in Moses, veiled, and the presence of God was in him. He was so perfect with that word in him like that. He was so perfect with that word in him like that, till he had to veil his face. And it was a vindicated prophet that unfolded the word and told them, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt and thou shalt not. See? And there he writes above, the pillar of fire veiled in flesh. To give his word to that generation, he veiled himself in a human being, or the word would have been blinded, even the called out. See? Even the people that was there, they could not stand to see that. In Exodus, we find that they said, let Moses speak and not God. See why the pillar of fire don't appear too much? See? Now, remember, where the pillar of fire was seen was in a great tent cathedral, seen by the forerunner of the coming of the Lord, which in that vision, he saw the pillar of fire speaking to someone above where he was. In other words, in the fulfillment of the tent vision, it is already clear who is the one that is working and who is the one that is speaking to the people through that instrument. Because if he saw the pillar of fire there, then automatically, when that was being fulfilled, well, the pillar of fire would be there. And that is what is already a reality in the midst of the church bride. And he continues saying, God said, I'll do that. I'll rise them up, a prophet, a man. I'll rise them up one. And he came just exactly. I will rise and he'll be the word. He said, if they want to see what the word is, said, now, Moses, I appeared to you yonder, the burning bush, said, I'm going to come down and set that mountain afire, said, they will see that you've told the truth. I'll appear here in the same burning way. I will appear here and prove to the people. I will vindicate your ministry. That's what he told Moses here. So many words. Notice. He said, now, I am going to glorify you before the people, said, now, you told them that I met you out there in the burning bush. Now, I am going to come down the same fire, and I am going to let the people see that you never lied about it. That is, to vindicate Moses, in other words, what Moses spoken of, which had happened. You can scientifically prove it even, if you want to, see? I am going to come right down and let them know. In other words, when he carried out that deliverance, and he told those slaves that they were going to be delivered, he told them what had happened. He had told the people that God had sent him. He had mentioned to the people everything that God had spoken to him. In other words, the conversation that he had with God. God manifested in that bush, in that pillar of fire there. He told them. He told the people everything that had happened, the experience. And now, Brother Branham is saying that there was going to be a vindication of what he had told the people. How? Well, by delivering the people. Look, the vindication is always the end, that is, the result of the work and the labor which that messenger comes to do from God. The work that he comes to carry out, when he fulfills it at the end, that result of what that messenger came to do is fulfilled and carried out, and that is the vindication that God has sent him. The vindication of the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels will be the resurrection and the transformation, and that is when the world will realize that God was in the midst of the human race carrying out the work relevant to the dispensation of the kingdom in that beginning, in which He would carry out a claiming work. He would carry out the promise of the resurrection, the promise of transformation, the rapture, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and a millennium. Notice everything that comes after the vindication of that ministry. The work will come first, where many people will perhaps not understand, not comprehend, but the elect, the wise, will understand. By loving His coming and receiving His coming, they would then be receiving in the vindication the promises relevant to that claiming work, which begins progressively until it reaches the climax, where God will vindicate what He is carrying out today. He continues to say, and when He began to thunder, when Jehovah started thundering, the people said, no, 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 don't let Jehovah speak, we will die. See, He had to be veiled. So God veiled Himself in Moses and gave Moses the word, and Moses came down and spoke the word of the Lord in a veil over His face. That's right. Jehovah veiled in a form of a prophet, because it would have absolutely, and God said He wouldn't speak to them anymore like that. He would only speak to them by a prophet. That's the only way He would ever speak from then on. That's the only way He's ever spoke. That's right. Never any other way. He don't lie. Notice, only Moses had the word. Now, there wasn't a group came down. There wasn't just the Pharisees or the Sadducees, or it wasn't a certain sect or clan. It was Moses. Remember that word, clan? He uses that too. Brother Branham uses it in the words to the bride. Don't make yourselves clans. Don't make groups. He got one. He can't get two or three different minds. He takes one man. If there are three, four, five minds, and men speaking to one side and to another and another and another, then there must be a real one, and there must be a real one who is alive, of course, because if there is an impersonation, it must be of something that is carrying out a work, and imitators arise from that. Moses had the word, and Moses alone. Now, look at this. Moses had the word, and Moses alone. Joshua even didn't have it, because God doesn't use two minds at the same time. He may have that next ministry there, but since God only deals with one, the time comes when the one that is coming to an end then begins to decrease, and then He begins to magnify the next one. As He said in the Book of the Seals, there won't be two of us here at the same time, and even if there are, He'll increase and I will decrease. No one else had it. Amen. Joshua was a general. Joshua was a commander of the army. Joshua was a believer, a Christian. But Moses was a prophet. The word can't come to Joshua. It's got to come to Moses. He was the major prophet of the hour. Notice, the word never did come to Joshua till Moses was gone. See? No, no, sir. God deals with one at a time. God is one. See? Now, only Moses had the word, not a group. Look, God warned any person not to try to follow Moses into that veil. Impersonators, see, woman, man, priest, whoever it was, how godly, how man, how much honor, how much they was, he warned. And there he writes on the left, only Moses had the word. God works with one at a time. God is one. Let Moses come alone. And if any man, even an animal, touches it, must be killed right there, never break before that veil. That veil belongs to one person. That is, they can never imitate what God is doing through that instrument. That message is one, see? In the temple, one man went in once a year, anointed and fixed to go in, not to bring the word, but to offer blood, to even walk in there before it. Only one, any other man, died, see? To obtain mercy for Aaron and for Miriam, or Mary, notice, he didn't go to the tabernacle to offer a sacrifice there. Rather, he went to Moses. Because notice, if it was not the 10th day of the 7th month of each year, if it didn't fall on that day, then he couldn't enter, but he had to do something to reach God, so that Miriam, and therefore he as well, could have mercy from God. And since he was a prophet instead of Moses, Moses was God to Aaron, he had to go to Moses, and Moses could then intercede for both of them. Now notice how that was showing us what would happen at this end time when he would leave the throne of intercession in heaven, and then he would already be in that human throne. The same thing happened to Judas Iscariot. Instead of going to the throne there, instead of going to the veil of flesh, the word, repenting from what he had done, he went to the temple there with the high priest, the doctors of the law, to seek for mercy, and he didn't find it. And yet, on the cross, you see that thief there, and he recognized who Jesus was and obtained mercy. Now, he continues to say, then spiritually die now. This is a spiritual veil. See? That was a natural veil. This is a spiritual veil. See? They keep walking right on in behind there. You can tell them, oh, I know that, but I said, go ahead, it's all right, it only speaks. You remember the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus. The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Then they will be cremated and turned back to the dust, and the righteous will walk out upon their ashes. But the last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word. And he writes, spiritual death. Notice what we read on Wednesday in that quote of the ages, that there will be no forgiveness in terms of people who speak against the Holy Spirit. It says, now the Son of Man, they speak something against the Son of Man, and it's forgiven for them. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it will not be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. And notice that there, what happened in the time of Moses is then fulfilled, where people who will be crucifying the second coming of the Lord with things against that veil of flesh, the first thing that they will obtain is spiritual death. And then they will be burned, Brother Branham says there, and turned into dust. In other words, they are cast in the great tribulation. Now, that is the last thing, Brother Branham says, But the last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word, to reject the fulfillment of what God promised for this end time. And then, there he writes, spiritual death. Here he also writes, you can grant it. I know that, but I, and three dots. Now, notice, God warned any person not to try to follow Moses into the veil of fire. Moses was to be veiled. He had to come out of there. Moses went in as Moses, went into that pillar of fire, and when he walked back out, he was veiled, for he went into there out of his traditions, the traditions of the elders. He had saw the pillar of fire, but now he goes into that pillar of fire, see? Amen. And he come forth veiled. God's word in amen, veiled. Here he comes, walking out. Oh my, I can see it. Warned, nobody else to try it. Nobody can impersonate that. You better not. See, even a priest or a holy man, whoever it was, cardinal, bishop, anything else, trying to go in that veil, died. God warned them. We will have no impersonators. His word is revealed to one. It's always been. A prophet came with the word of the Lord is age every time down through the scripture. The word comes to one in every age, the same even in the church ages, from the very first to the last. Others have their place, that's right, notice, but stay away from that pillar of fire. See, what a lesson we learn here. See, everybody wanting to be a Moses, and everybody, you remember what Dathan and them said out there? They said, now Moses, wait, here just a minute. You take two upon yourself. See, now, there is other men here that God has called. That is true. They each one were following fine as long as they went along. But when one tried to step up and take God's position that he gave Moses, which was predestined and ordained to that job, tried to take it, fire come down and opened up the earth and swallowed them right into it. See? See? Be careful, see? Just be a good, God's godly Christian, believing the word, see? Stay away from that pillar. What a lesson. And there he writes, Moses, Dathan, and Korah tried to take Moses' position. And Moses, in Revelation chapter 11 and Zechariah chapter 4, we see that he is one of the two olive trees. In other words, that dispensational ministry, it was promised that at the end of time it would be manifested, where those ministries would carry out the claiming work, because the Son of Man comes with his angels, and to imitate that ministry of Moses, that ministry of Elijah, or the ministry of Jesus, is death. It would happen the same thing that happened to Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. Now, he continues to say, I went back to the message of Brother William that I am reading. Therefore, let's be patient with one another and tolerant with one another, knowing that as God has promised, he will do so. Remember that we go through stages of trials where the important thing is to remain steadfast, and if we don't understand things at first, we will understand them later on. In the message, trying to do God a service without being God's will, on page 41, he tells us, oh, they each one thinks they got anointing. Glory to God, he can do this and do that. But put him on the word test and find what he comes out at. See, the message of the hour. And he writes, the word test, and he draws a cornerstone in the ages. They had anointing in the time of Jesus, but not on him. And he draws a cornerstone. They had anointing in the time. Even Dathan had anointing in the time of Moses. He says, now, don't you think that you're the only holy among us? God has plenty. will just start an organization here, a group of men, and God said to Moses, separate yourself from him, and he opened the earth and swallowed them up. He had given his original word to Moses, his prophet. That's the only way he ever did do it, and the only way he ever will do it. He doesn't change his plan, see? And there he writes, God is unchangeable. He doesn't change. Here in this little part at the bottom on the right, on paragraph 184, it is numbered here. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes, he draws seven stages. When it says a cornerstone and the ages, it's because you already know the drawing, but in this one he puts it as the messengers of each dispensation. And the cornerstone at the top, but he places them, Adam, Seth, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and the angel of Jesus in the seventh, with the cornerstone above. Now, notice what Brother William continues to say here. He says, remember what Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us, and that shows us something that we must all understand. Verse 1 and on says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, and that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God lead thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Look, in the book of Quotations, page 167, paragraph 1486, it tells us, I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and begin to understand. But friends, listen, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. Our faith isn't ripe. Intellectually, we are hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that he showed us and proving it by the Bible. It's there. But oh, how the church needs to lay in his presence till it tenders up, you know, and get sweet in the spirit so that it can bathe down. Sometimes in speaking the message, you get harsh, have to break it in like that, because you've got to clench a nail to make it hold. But when the church once get it, the elect is called out and separated then in the presence of God. And there he writes, most holy place. I know it'll be something like the people was there when it takes it, rapture. And he writes below that it will be like the people there in paradise and the rapture. And he draws an arrow towards the drawing he made of the cornerstone and the ages, and he writes 8 in the cornerstone, and in the seventh age he writes 7, and he writes on the left upwards, he writes the sun to ripen our faith, and he also writes the sun, the light, moon. Now, continuing here, the scripture, he says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The reason for the trajectory of the people is clear to us there. The people had not matured. They were green, or super green, more than green. They were a cold-hearted people. Their heart was hardened. And the greatest thing they had was the pillar of fire that accompanied Moses. Therefore, they had to appreciate what God had given them, the pillar of fire and a prophet. Look, what God has given us in this end time is the greatest thing that God has given to the church. And they may say, but Paul was great, or Irenaeus, or Martin, or Columba. Reverend William Branham or Dr. William Soto Santiago, what God has given to the church today, it is the greatest thing he ever given her. It is the pillar of fire and a prophet, because what he promised in his word and through the prophets, God has fulfilled it. He is faithful to fulfill what he said. He is faithful to vindicate what Reverend William Branham was shown in the 10th vision. He vindicated Moses when Moses said that he had seen the pillar of fire talking with him. God at this time had vindicated what Brother Branham saw in the vision, that he saw the pillar of fire talking to someone higher above. And today God is vindicating that word. The pillar of fire. The pillar of fire is speaking to the church bride and giving her the rapturing faith in the fulfillment of what he promised, that the teaching, the thunders being spoken in and under a great tenth cathedral. In the message, the future home. On page 37, Reverend William Branham tells us, now you say, well, look at this priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? Sure, but he couldn't recognize the expressed word of the hour. He only had an intellectual learning from the same group that had been back before him. And it is the same thing today. And he writes there, intellectual teaching. On the right, and on the left, he writes, the test. See? I know that's strong, but it is the truth. There was the word as spoken exactly for that day, and he, yet he was a scholar, yet he was a renowned person, but he could not recognize it. Why? No matter how scholar he was, anything like that, he still didn't have the representation of predestination. And he writes there, representation in the seventh dimension. Anyone who does not recognize at this time the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels doesn't have representation of predestination, as simple as that. See, only the predestined will only be the one who does it, only can be, and you only can do it because, look, it proves predestination. Like some say, I just don't understand what he's saying there. Well, why do so many people, like the 11, because there is a group, out of 12, one did not believe, but 11 did believe. They received the revelation of who was Jesus, even though some people, even though they didn't understand some things, but they believed them. And he said to them, what you don't understand now, you will understand later on. So why do some who do believe and understand, while other people don't? There we have predestination. Because if you've got eternal life, you had to be a part of God all times, because he's the only one is eternal. You see it? Oh my, think of it. Now, watch what happens through the great millennium. Now, he continues saying here where we stopped. He says, therefore, they were supposed to value what God had given them, the pillar of fire and a prophet. The pillar of fire, Christ, in that light, accompanying the people. We have seen that patience, understanding, tolerance, and so on must be manifested in the lives of the believers so that, firm in the faith, we may obtain what God had promised. In the message, Christ is identified the same. On page 16, it tells us there, now, we see He, God, then identifying Himself in all ages. How? How did He identify Himself now? What characteristic did He use? His same characteristic from the beginning, manifesting His Word, making His Word to live. That's the identification, the promised Word of that age. See? In other words, vindicating. There is a place in the book of quotations that says, but there is more word to be vindicated. Let's see. In the book of quotations, page 120, it says, in the paragraph 1065, it says, He was a vindicated light of that day. See, but there is more word to be a vindicated. He's got to vindicate more word. And above that paragraph there, he writes, Jesus, Elijah, Moses. And when the last word is vindicated, and he writes there, when the last word is vindicated, the Lord, with Elijah and Moses, will be vindicated in the second coming. Because it is the Word being quickened, brought to life. That is, we already read His Word. Making His Word live. How does the Word comes to life? When it's made flesh. That's where the Word is quickened, vindicated. And when the last Word is vindicated, and there he writes, the Lord with Elijah and Moses. That is, it is the ministry of the Son of Man with His angels, will be vindicated in the second coming. And when the last word is vindicated, then death is swallowed upon victory, and the dead in Christ shall rise, the millennium will set in. Now, our brother William continues to say, and remember that God's promises are of or to and of those for whom and in whom they are fulfilled, they are materialized. That is why it is so important to know the divine promises for this time. On page 147 from the book of quotations, on the paragraph 1311, it tells us, we are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it is your attitude that brings the results. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. And below he writes, get started, and God will do the rest. And above he writes, the mechanics and the dynamics, the attitude. And in between parentheses he writes, the faith or unbelief. And he closes the parentheses, brings the result. Our brother William continues to say, it is not to say, if I were in Noah's time, I would believe Noah's message, I would believe in Noah, and I would be there working with a hammer and a saw and other tools along with Noah, as you believe or and act this time, that is what you would have done in Noah's time. In other words, if you are carrying out a work today, well, that same thing is exactly what you will be doing in Noah's time. On page 16 of the book of quotations, in paragraph 118, it says, I believe and can prove that the right mental attitude, and he writes positive, that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God, and on the right he draws a Star of David, will bring it to pass. Yes, sir, the right mental attitude, but you've got to have the right attitude. The attitude is what brings the results. If you say, yes, I believe it, but I don't know, That's not the right attitude. The right attitude is to receive it and say, thus saith the Lord. Then it's right. What Sister Hattie Wright said, that's nothing but the truth about what Brother Branham was saying about the creation of the squirrels and everything that he was talking about there. She said, that's nothing but the truth. See, she had the right attitude and she said, thus saith the Lord, that's nothing but the truth. And he writes above, the mental attitude to the promise will make it fulfilled. Now, our brother William continues to say here, therefore, we have been given a time parallel to Noah's time, and that is why we have to know what the divine promises are for our time, the things that God will be carrying out, and that he will be using people so that those promises will be materialized, and therefore there will be workers who must be tested, approved by God. In the message, Three Kinds of Believers, on page 12, Reverend William Branham tells us, in the 12th page at the bottom, turning to the page 13, says, hope, another believer. Sometimes believers put into the test, not sometimes, every time. For every son that cometh to God must be chastened, tried, child trained. He writes there, every son on the left. Remember the trials, the dusty roads, the hot sun of persecution. But the loyalty of your heart beats that material till she is ready to go into the mold. God's children is made up correctly on his word, for they are living examples and the word of God living through them. See, the trials comes to shake you, to put you to the very bottom, to see where you'll stand. They tested, try every son that cometh to God. Hope went through the trials and the tests, his children taken, everything else taken, the church members come, accused him of being a secret sinner, and tried to say everything against him. Look, they were even speaking slander against him. But yet, he wouldn't listen to any of it. He knew that he had met God's requirement. He knew there is no need of Satan trying to tempt him. He knew it was the devil. And as long as Satan can make him believe that his sickness was his God's doing, he had Hope's whip. But when Hope once struck that revelation that it was not God, he was only going through his trials to make him something. It wasn't God doing it. It was Satan doing it. And he writes, for perfection, the trial, on the left, upwards. And the same thing today. He'll try to tell you these trials and things is your God trying to put you in punishment. It isn't so. No, sir. It's Satan doing that and God permitting it to temper you, to make you see if you are tied to this earth by the earth cares or whether your treasures is in heaven. For wherever your treasures is, there you are also. That's right. Your heart is where your treasures are. Hope tried. Yet he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. At the last days he'll stand upon the earth, though after my skin worms destroy my body. Though after my skin worms destroys my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Amen. You cannot annihilate it. Though the skin worms eat it up, it still will come back again. Whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold, and not another. He said it. Hope, why? He was a believer in trials, he was a believer in persecution, he was a believer, he was a genuine believer. Joseph, another believer, he couldn't help being what he was. He was a prophet, God made him a prophet, he didn't want to be different from his brothers, because a prophet isn't made a prophet, he is born a prophet. But he was different, God made him what he is. Nobody else could take his place. Nobody can take your place. And he writes there, nobody could take your place. Nobody could take the place of Peter, of James, of John. And notice, they tried to take the place of Moses and Elijah. James and John did. Notice, but it was not of the Lord to give it, but to those which it was already ordained. That pertains to that one who has the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and no one could take the place of Judas either, who represents the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, whom and in whom the devil will be incarnate in all its fullness, where very soon, in whoever he has there, because he leaves, he dies, he is removed and they put another one, he is removed and they put another one. Whoever he is in, that would be the Judas of this time, in whom the devil will be incarnate. At the same time that the devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes down incarnate in a man. See, because it is the same. Now, that spirit will also be in people who would be allowing themselves to be used by the enemy, and they are also considered spirits of Judas, whether by betraying the word or speaking badly or by being part of that persecution movement. In other words, he doesn't necessarily have to go to turn him in, but by contributing to all that movement there, the person would automatically already have that same spirit. Now, he continues saying, nobody can take your place, no matter how little. You say, I'm just a housewife. Nobody can take your place. God, in his great economy, has so set so the body of Christ in order till there is no one that can take your place. How I would like to take Billy Graham's place, any of us ministers, but we cannot do it. But just remember, Billy cannot take our place. See, we all have a place. Some of us are evangelists, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, whatever you are, some housewives, some mechanics, some farmers, whatever it is, God has set you in your place. See, Joseph was a prophet. He couldn't help because he could interpret dreams. He couldn't help because that he saw visions. Watch how true he was. No matter if it cost him his fellowship with his brothers, he was true because he believed those dreams. He believed that the dream that he had, that they would all bow to him, the sheaves would. It come to pass because he believed it. He was a genuine believer, and he writes there on the left, God doesn't call man, or that's a subject. Above is where he writes, God has placed you in the position that you are in. In other words, it is the position you are in, which you are placed in by God. But that page also writes that subject from the message, warning before judgment. Write that page as well, 10 and 11. And then at some point, we can read it from that subject. Here it is, God doesn't call man to judge without first warning him, because they put the subject like that in some messages, but inside you can see that it has another one. In some versions it is like that, warning before judgment. You can write that subject there, which is page 10 and 11. Now, it goes on to say here in this same message, a writing of our brother William in the message, three kinds of believer, he writes, every child of God must be tested, and on must be, he says, don't avoid them. In other words, let's say that without fail, he must be tested. It cannot be avoided. Now, it goes on to say, the trial of Jesus there in Gethsemane, notice he tried to avoid it, but look, he had to accept that transcendental decision. And that is how it is at this end time, because it will be parallel in every way. If he made that decision back then, that veil of flesh at the end of time has also made that decision. Now, he continues saying, so that there may be workers approved by God in the mystical body of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, meaning the word of Christ. An approved workman. Let's see something here. In this message, unveiling God, which we read some minutes ago, and we stopped there on page 30. A bit further on,
en la página 32, miren,
on page 32, look.
Dice,
he says,
el pueblo piensa,
the people think,
había visto que algo
seen
había
something had happened
ahora,
to him, he was now different from the rest of the Israelites. He was a different, his message was different, he was different from the priests, he was different from anything. See, he was a different person. The people seen something had happened. God had veiled himself in his prophet to speak his word to them, and he draws the Star of David on the left. That's what he had done. Moses was that living word to the people, veiled by the pillar of fire, speaking what was to be veiled later behind badger skins. See, the word had to come from Moses first. See, Moses had the word. They were written by God. Nobody could interpret them. Moses had to interpret them first. That's the reason he veiled his face, because he... Do you see it? See? Here it is. We could pick it up, pack it up, and everything else there, but it's God to be revealed. In order to reveal, Moses had to become God to the people. Now notice, in order to reveal, therefore Moses had to become God to the people. And there he writes, he draws a Star of David on the previous paragraph. And it says, on the paragraph where it says, Moses was that living word to the people, veiled by the pillar of fire, speaking what was to be veiled behind the badger skins. And there he draws a Star of David and he writes, Moses was the living word to the people. If the pillar of fire was working through him, then it was God there in the midst of the Hebrew people, speaking everything that God had to speak to the people. It was through Moses. And if the pillar of fire was seen in the Great Tent Cathedral, then it is the pillar of fire that is speaking to the people through that instrument. Now, he continues saying here in this message, an approved workman, he continues, the scripture speaks to us about workers in different parables. For example, we have in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 to 47, or up to 51, it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye not think the Son of Man cometh, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season, the spiritual food, the word in due season, and the word of the time in which they are given to live, the message of God for the time in which they are given to live. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods, over all his goods. Those are great words, and most of all because they are the words of Christ, which means that they are truth. In response to those words, in Revelation it tells us, chapter 2 and chapter 3, chapter 2 promises, saying in that chapter, the verse 26 and on, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, just as authority is given to a person to be mayor, governor, representative, senator, or president of a nation. Through people's vote, that authority has been given to them." Isn't that what it says in the seals? On page 134, where he says, in the book of the seals, notice, "And when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the presence of Jesus Christ, we will crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, notice, he says there, "Through people's vote, that authority is being given to them." And here, "Through God's vote, that authority is given to the overcomer, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron," meaning he will govern them, "as the vessel of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Now look, on page 475 of the book of the seals, he tells us, "Can't you see, Methodist ministers, how that your message of sanctification was above that which Luther preached? You Pentecostals, can't you see that your message of the baptism is beyond that which Methodist preached? You know what I mean? Oh, we've had a lot of things go forth, and that's right. And if there is anybody that despises wrong, and people saying something that's actually lies and not the truth, I hate that, but I do love the solid truth. There are so many liars who start to speak lies, slanders and lies to win over, whether people or things, but by using lies, and it is as if they forget that this happened in the time of the apostles with Ananias and Sapphira. Automatically, the liars, the deceivers, will not enter into the kingdom of the Messiah. In other words, it will be spiritual death first, and then they will go to the great tribulation if they use all of that to attack the ministry, because, notice, there, in the time of Ananias and Sapphira, there were people among the people, they were loved by the people, cared for by the people, and God did not forgive them for that. In other words, he did not allow them to continue living and continue laboring in the work there at that time. Now, we don't know about them, about that specific case, because God deals with each one as an individual. We don't know whether they were lost or not, because they, notice, have something in their favor, and it is that they were not against the work of the apostles, because we saw them there putting a certain amount at the feet of the disciples. In that case, Peter was there. But notice, it is not being recorded that they were fighting against or speaking against Peter and the apostles, but even with the action they did, the work that they were doing did not exempt them from judgment. But in that specific case, we do not know if they were lost or not. Now, how much more so those who lie? And to top it off, they are against the divine program there. They have two things that condemn them: lying and being against the Holy Spirit at this time. Now, he goes on to say, "But I do love the solid truth, no matter how much it interrupts this way or that way. If it's truth, God will finally show it as truth, and if he doesn't do that, one of these days soon, then my vision wasn't right. Now, you see where I just laid myself, and you know what vision he is referring to. When will it be, Brother Branham? I cannot tell you, I don't know, but one of these days, if we ever meet again on this earth, we are going to meet yonder at the judgment seat of Christ. And he writes there, Revelation 10, 1 to 11, and also further on he writes, Revelation 2, verse 26 to 28, 3, verse 21, and 11, 3 to 19. If it speaks of the throne of judgment here, in this scripture, it is speaking of Moses and Elijah. In other words, where will the people come forward to? Which is the throne of judgment of Jesus Christ? Now, he goes on to say, and you will find out that in that room, the revelation coming from God, just like the rest of them has, that them, one of the mysteries of the seals, the reason it wasn't revealed. Now, if he speaks about the revelation that he received in that room, he says, and here he speaks of that seal. He is speaking about the seventh seal here because he is preaching the seventh seal. Now he continues saying, one of the mysteries of that seal, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was seven thunders that uttered their voices. And there it is, perfectly, because nothing knows anything about it. It wasn't even written, so we are at the end time, we are here. In other words, the thunders were not being made known. And notice, some people may say, no, but Brother Branham preached the thunders. Others say, no, it's because Brother William, those thunders are, they were already spoken. Well, if the thunders were spoken, why is the person still here? Why hasn't the person been raptured? When the last word is given under the tent, under the teaching of the thunders, under the teaching under the tent, which he said that in the fulfillment of the tent vision, those thunders would be made known. In other words, the scripture of Revelation chapter 10 would be fulfilled, which is the coming of the mighty angel. Now notice that this promise could not have happened because in the dispensation of grace, he was still on the throne of intercession. He had not taken the book yet. In 2018 and 19, at the beginning, it was still closing there, so that door could then be opened. Then, where do they get that? The thunders have already uttered their voices. The thunders utter their voices in a higher age and outside of the dispensation of grace, that is, in the most holy place. That is why so many cannot understand and comprehend what the thunders are. They say that they know, but they don't know anything. In other words, it is of no use for you to spend years in the message if you don't have the revelation from above, if you don't have the representation of the seventh dimension. Now he continues to say, one of the mystery of the seal, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was seven thunders that uttered their voices, and there it is, perfectly, because nothing knows anything about it. It wasn't even written, so we are at the end time. We are here. Now our brother William continues to say, the same way that Christ received this authority from the Father, so will he grant it to the overcomer. Remember that Christ, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He will give authority to the overcomer the same way. We also find that authority being given in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 to 22 of Revelation, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. And what is the throne of Christ? We know what is the heavenly throne of God, where Christ is seated with the Father, and which is the throne of Christ, the throne of David, where he has promised, the same way that he has sat with the Father, to seat the overcomer with him on his throne. Therefore, the overcomer at the time of that reward will be able to say, all power is given unto me on earth, because Jesus has said in chapter 28, verse 16 to 20, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And that same authority, notice, it is also transferred to the overcomer of the end of time, where he will be able to say, all power is given unto me on earth in the kingdom of Messiah. Just as Christ said, all power is given unto me, where? In heaven and on earth. It seems like he is going to share some of that authority on earth, which he receives in heaven and on earth, and that pertains to the kingdom of the Messiah, where he sits on the throne of David, and with him the overcomer. None of the messengers carried on to overcome what they had to overcome in order to obtain that promise. They overcame as far as God allowed them to. In other words, at this end time, notice, the time will come when, just as Jesus said, all power or all authority, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. At this end time, I will be able to say at some point, all power is given to me on earth in the kingdom of the Messiah. As simple as that. Now, look, in the message, how can I overcome? On page 32, he tells us, he's quoting the scripture of Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, amen, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. There's a reward for overcomers. Press on, Lily. If it's in you, lay aside the mud and everything else and press towards the top, yes sir, to sit with me on my throne. There on the left, he draws a cornerstone, and inside of the cornerstone, he draws a Star of David and the ages. You know, one time, the mother of James and John, we won't have time to read it, the mother of James and John came and asked for this place. You know that? Remember that? Lord, let my son sit on one side and my other son on the other side. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right. And he writes the throne. There's a mother's desire for her son. But watch, but that place, Jesus said, was predestined. This position was not in existence at that time. Why? Notice, it will be granted to them who it is meant for. He draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left. What? The one to set on the right hand and the other closest to him was yet an overcomer. See, it was still, he said, I don't grant this. I can't grant this. But it will be given after the trial comes. Amen. See, I can give this. But after the trial comes, they'll sit on the right hand and on the left. And he writes below, what? On the throne, one to the right and one to the left. There is a predestined seed waiting out yonder for that. It will be given to the ones that it's promised to. It will be given there, but the test hasn't come yet. That he hasn't overcome yet. See, what test? The same one that Jesus went through. It is the same one that the two olive trees are going through, and there will be a climax of that test. In other words, those who would be overcoming, in which that promise is already given to them, it is already predestined for them, they must carry on to overcome. Page 115 of the Book of the Seals tells us something about that too. Now see, he continues to say, the persons that was to take this place on one side and another, one to take it on the other side, next to him in the kingdom, it wasn't yet given, see, hadn't been overcome. Notice, And none of the messengers nor Brother William overcame what Brother Branham is showing here from the scripture that we just read from Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. They made it to a certain point, but none of them overcame that last page. It says, him in the kingdom, it wasn't yet given. He hadn't been overcome. The test hasn't failed yet. It will fall in the future if we suffer. Didn't Christ suffer there? Notice, won't he also suffer that part where he says that he left part of his suffering for this time? In other words, Christ, notice, so will that ministry of Revelation 11, he also goes through trials, through sufferings, through everything that in his ministry he will be going through. But notice, there is already a victory at the end, after the trial, after the suffering, because it says, if we suffer for Christ and his word, we will reign with him, for he is the word. Remember, if we suffer for him and his word, we will reign with him in his word. And he draws a Star of David on the left, and above that paragraph he also writes a Star of David. Notice, he, our example, overcome and then ascended up after he conquered death, hell, sickness, grave, everything. He conquered, then he ascended up and led captivity captive, give gifts unto men. Then, that was the Old Testament, with the Old Testament saints that had overcome. They looked for such a person, and they died before it got there. But when this person come, it didn't prevent them, which were asleep. Amen. Can't lose any way, live or die. What difference does it make? Won't prevent. He draws a cornerstone on the right and the ages, and at the beginning of that paragraph he also drew a cornerstone in the ages, and then also on paragraph 159 at the end he draws a Star of David, where it says, we will reign with him in his word. And there he draws a Star of David, and he writes upwards, he led captivity captive equals the OT saints of the Old Testament. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and now the church is pillar and ground of the truth. A little further on there in that same message, and each messenger is a pillar of that house. Therefore, there we can see that in each age, the messenger, along with the group of believers of his age, has a burden and responsibility towards God and towards the church of the living God. On page 119, on paragraph 1059 of the Book of Quotation, it tells us, now, I am just your brother. I am sure you understand that. I am a man, he is God, but God only can work and always has worked and only worked through man. And there he writes, God always works through man. And he draws a Star of David on the right. And our brother William continues to say, and everyone has a responsibility towards the work that is relevant to that time to carry it out. And that age, along with the messenger and his group, they conquered the divine promises for that time, because God always uses an instrument, a veil of flesh, and through that messenger, he has wonderful workers who are also being tested to then, after the test, to obtain the victory, heeding the voice of Christ and laboring in his work. Let's stand up, and we live in this message, hearing the voice of Christ and laboring in his work, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.